Before I get to my main message today out of the book of Thessalonians, the conference yesterday was outstanding, and I'm just going to prophesy a few of the things that I feel. I don't have any highlights here. I wrote as fast as I could and only got half as much of what Mary wrote, but she's got a speed hand. But, you know, there are created things on the planet. But we are created beings. God gives us that ability to create. When we worship God, we create an atmosphere for things to happen. And it's just like, okay, remember back to your high school science and you're learning about the sun? Pretty big thing, isn't it? 93 million miles away. The heat is... I don't want to go into all the details. I didn't study this ahead of time. But we've got to admit that the sun is an amazing thing. You have greater power than the sun inside of you. Prove it, Pastor Mike. Sun, stand still. Who said it? Joshua. Sun, stand still. And we think these little problems that we've got are big. They don't hold a candle. So with the words of our mouth, we can lift up, we can tear down, we can create. And so, I'm just going to stretch your faith a little bit there. Be creative in your speaking. Be creative in your prophesying. Be creative in your believing. Don't hold back. We have the mind of Christ. We read that. No. You have the same mind that God does. I don't know if that smokes you a little bit. It should. We have the mind of Christ. And therefore we can create and do these things. What we have to do is just align ourselves with what's going on in the kingdom of God. Because the same power that came onto Jesus and raised him from the dead out of the depths of the grave lives on the inside of you and me. So I want to encourage you to speak. To speak to your situations. Speak to the things that you're praying for. Speak to them. Create them. Come to pass. Stretch it just a little bit there. You were very good. Hallelujah. And then the suddenlies come. And suddenly it happens. I love suddenlies. I don't know about you. I love sudden breakthroughs, don't you? I love it when you're praying for things and things that you're believing for, and suddenly it happens. Well, prophesy it. Don't quit. Don't give up. The devil is a discouraging devil. But God is a creative God, and we can create those things. So that's just a little bit. Being a child of God makes us a co-creator with God. John said in 6:63 that we are spirit and we are life. My words are life. So, we need to start practicing what we're doing with our mouths and our prophesying a little bit more. You know, it's really interesting because I for a number of years now, I've watched different ministries under worship and how it works for them. And, you know, Jenny, help me out here. The song that... she was with, well, I'm just blank here. I'm running a blank. No, Carrie Jobes. Carrie Jobes' big song that we did, not just a couple weeks back. And anyway. Yeah. She did it in Omaha at Jacob's Church. But anyway, it was really cool because they were just sitting around. And all of a sudden, Stephen Furtick stand up, we need to write this song. And they just sit there and they write. It just comes, right? You don't have to work at it. I can sit down and when I'm doing worship sets, I just got to tell you, these things get inspired. I sit down and sometimes I can write out 6 weeks worth. It just, this fits here, this fits. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. I love it. It's just in me. You know, just in you. And so that creative power to change the circumstances in your life is already in you. It's already there, you know? You know? We prophesy new cells in your body, Kim. New cells. Healthy cells. In Jesus' name. We prophesy health and healing and break the curse. Cancer is a curse. It's not a blessing. It's a curse. It's either a blessing. You know, come on. So we prophesy health and healing to every cell. Yeah. And the thief has been caught. Catch a thief is to pay. So bring that faith to us, Lord. Bring it. Hallelujah. Mary, finish this line. Expectations. Expectations are the breeding ground for miracles. What are we expecting? Every Sunday we come here, we have to expect, I'm going to hear from God. Whether it's in worship, whether it's through the Word, whether it's somebody afterwards, whether it's somebody maybe driving here, maybe driving back, maybe when you get home. But expectancy is the breeding ground for miracles. We have to expect the goodness of God. I would have fainted, the psalmist says. My heart would have fainted. I haven't looked at the Hebrew on that or Greek, but my heart would have fainted unless I would have believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Let's believe for goodness. I believe healing is good. Come on. I believe having enough money is good. I believe having enough food to eat is good. I'm so thankful for the goodness of what God's done giving us this house. We make rent every month because it's cheap. And they're happy. The owners are happy with us. Come on, you guys rent property. It's nice when you got happy owners, right? Jesus, you're just so good. Just so good. So today, as we kind of look at the review from last week about who Jesus is in the book of Colossians, I might not get through this. We'll see what happens. Christ in us. Let's change that. Christ in me. I'm going to say that. Christ in me. Who? Me. In the natural, I don't qualify. But in the spiritual, I'm qualified. Christ in me. The creator of the universe lives right here. And everything he is here. Everything we need is here in Christ. Everything we're going to need is here in Christ. Christ in me. Christ in me, which gives me hope. Hope is alive. Hope is living. Why do people kill themselves? Because they are hopeless. Why are people despondent? Because they are hopeless. Why do people look at circumstances and are hopeless? Because they don't have the hope of the gospel and the power of heaven within their spirits. We do. Jesus in us. Christ in us. The hope. Now, hope is a confident expectation of what God has promised. Boom. There's a good definition of hope. A confident expectation of what God has promised. A confident expectation. Not haughty, just confident. Right? Did anybody here have enough confidence that they could walk up the stairs to church today? Or if you need a little help? A little help now, right? Confidence is powerful. Confidence will take you places you've never been before. Do you think these athletes that are top, do you think they've got some confidence? Yeah, they're. You touch them and confidence just oozes out of their beings. They're confident, right? You know, when Ron starts his farming year, he's confident that he's going to make the right decisions. He's confident in the Lord. Because the Lord's going to direct him. We have confidence in the Lord to give us that direction. There's a confidence in that. A confident expectation. A confident expectation of what God has promised. What has God promised? It says all. No. Scripture says some of the promises of God. No. All of the promises of God are in him. Yes. That's that confidence. That confidence inside of us that says, yes, yes, yes and amen. Hallelujah. And the glory that's within us is the manifested presence of heaven. Just like when the pillar of fire showed up for the Old Testament saints to protect them. Fire by day and cloud by night, or is that right? I didn't mess that up, did I? That, yeah, however it works. You get the plan. Yeah. That's the presence of God. You've got that in you. We've got that in us. That manifest presence of God. That's the same presence that filled the tabernacle. That's the same presence that comes in worship. When we're here, and sometimes we can't move. We have to sit down, we have to kneel, we have to lay. That manifest presence of God, I'm thankful for that. Christ in us is the hope of glory. Second review about Colossians is, our faith has a voice. If we're going to believe for Julie to be healed, we're going to speak that puppy out in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Some of you, I don't know who was here or wasn't here last week, but at Lake Church, we had two women last fall that were in the middle of some serious back trouble walking with walkers, and they both walked into church without them last Sunday morning. And I'm just exploding on the inside that God is creatively, and these are people that don't normally go places that talk about healing. My Bible says, I'm healed by the stripes of the blood of Jesus. Amen? Come on. Yeah. Our faith has a voice. There's no such thing as quiet faith. Quiet faith is no faith at all. Your faith has a voice. And we need to speak it out. We need to speak out what we believe. We have to speak it out. Believe what we speak. You know, if we can't prophesy to somebody else, prophesy to yourself. Can't prophesy to somebody, prophesy about that circumstance out loud. Because those words are containers of powers, blessing, or curse, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? Your words are containers of blessing or cursing, life or death. So let's prophesy that life. Let's be creative with that life. Amen? I'm just in the review here. All of our doings should be done for the glory of God. That God would get the glory. So as we get into Thessalonians, we'll touch base here. Yeah, the second coming of Jesus is coming, but he's here right now. He's living on the inside of you. Why do we, I can't wait for Jesus to come back. Now, that's okay, but sometimes it puts us into neutral. Sometimes we shift into neutral. I'm just waiting for the kingdom of God to come. The kingdom of God is within you right now. The power of God is within you right now. The things of the kingdom are in you right now. We don't have to wait for them. It's right now. Come on. Yeah. Yes, suddenly Jesus is going to come. Yes, suddenly he's going to show up on a planet. Hallelujah. And yes, we like that. Let's read this. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 2 and 3. And this is in the Message. It's kind of good in the Message. You know as well as I that the day of the Master's coming can't be posted on calendars. I love that. That's cute. He won't call ahead and make an appointment any more than a burglar would. Next verse. About the time everybody's walking around, how are they walking around? Oh, I'm just waiting for the by and by. Holy Jesus, save us. Congratulating you there. We surely got it made. Now we can take it easy. Suddenly. Yeah, that's the message from yesterday. Suddenly. Suddenly he's going to come. Everything will fall apart. And it's going to come to us as suddenly and inescapably as a birth pain to a woman. Next verse. Thank you. Nope, 3-4. Okay. Yeah. Either way, it's coming. But let's be moving in the meantime. Amen. All right, let's look at the fruit of the church at Thessalonians. And first chapter 1-3. Paul, Silvanus, Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians and God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering this. This is what Paul remembered about the church at Thessalonica. Number one, the work of faith. Number two, the labor of love. And three, the patience of hope. Where? From our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God our Father. Hallelujah. So let's look at that. The work of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith grows by activating it, and faith speaks. So as we see how faith works, we have to do the work of faith. Believing, prophesying, and never wavering. Believing, prophesying, and never wavering. Prophesying, just saying it out loud. Don't get hung up on that one. Believing, prophesying, and never wavering when it comes to faith. The work of faith. We need to work our faith. Faith has to be active, like working a gift. Okay? Like working your gift. Whatever you do well, you think, well, I can do that well. You know, I can't work agriculture like these guys do. That's their work. I can't do the thing you do with people. Yeah, that's a work of faith, right? I can't sell beef. Right? Come on. Well, I can't do what Joe does. That's his work of faith. What is your work of faith? Well, work your faith. Work yours. Wherever you're at, each and every day. You got all those little boogers you send off to school every day, Jenny. That's a work of faith. Right? So we work that faith, and it's not difficult to work the faith that you're gifted in. Right? Okay? I used to coach a lot of athletics. Well, I'm coaching Christians. I don't know. I just work it. You know? That's just the way it works. Hallelujah. You know, and you can look around. You can look around and people that have their giftings, it just works. It just works. I love that. The devil wants to keep that from being on 90 miles an hour, right? Let's, yeah. All right, this labor of love, let's go on. Labor of love. The word labor means hard work. And then I made this statement. The thing that you love the most, you will work harder for. If you love Jesus the most, you'll work hard in the kingdom. It does take work. It does take some work. We have to do the work of faith. It does take some work. Patience of hope. That's that hope, that expectation, that joyful expectation of the second coming, that joyful expectation of trials coming to an end, that joyful expectation. Hebrews 6:12 says, who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I maybe better back that up. Who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Yes, I've been impatient waiting on God sometimes. And sometimes I get ahead of the Lord. That's why I have people that I talk to so that they keep me in line. Okay, Michael, just wait. You know, Mary and I have been through a two-year trial. And it's coming to an end finally. And I kept saying, no, we need to deal with this. And no, it's not time to deal with it yet, Michael. Okay, I'll trust that. You know, that's when you need to lean on people that are over you that don't have emotions attached to some of your trials and tribulations. That was pretty good. You got to rely on people that you can trust and let them, and then obey and follow what they're giving you. Right? Yeah. Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So, faith and patience together. Last thing we'll just touch real quick on is that God is always at work in our hearts. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. This is what Paul was talking to the Thessalonian church about. But as we've been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. Every day, we're going into a test, we're in the middle of a test, or we're coming out of a test. Some of the above, all the above, but never none of the above. Now that is my saying. That was inspired to me by the Holy Ghost years ago, and I'm still saying it. You're going in, you're in the middle of, or you're coming out, but never none. Always. There's breath in your heart. So it's not whether it's there, it's what we're doing. And all tests do is show what's in our heart. I had a test a couple of months ago. Pricked me pretty hard. And so instead of making a decision, I just set it down. I should have, by faith, done A, but I set it down because it was painful. A few months later, the Lord said, it's time. Deal with it. So I picked that thing back up, did the right thing, over. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you just got something you know you need to do right. So we need to purpose to embrace these tests that come our way. Because when we have a test, it's a test of endurance. It's a test of our faith. And the resulting end is always good. So we need to make an effort. Pass those tests. Look at James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it all joy, or count it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials or testings, knowing that this testing of your faith will give you endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect or mature, passing the tests of faith, and complete, mature, lacking in nothing. We want to be mature in passing our tests, whatever those things are. And so, may God release unto us today of freshness. Can we stand, please? Father, I just pray for just a fresh wind into our faith today. I just pray a fresh wind into our trials and our tribulations. I just pray a fresh faith, Lord, a fresh wind, Father, into the things that we're trusting you for. Lord, they might be short-term days, hours, I don't know. God, maybe they're weeks or months, or God, maybe they're years. But God, just blow a fresh faith. Just blow by your Spirit in with the wind of God, with the breath of God into those things, Lord. God, we can't do this without you, but we can do it with you. We can handle it with you. So, Father, just breathe a fresh wind into our lives today. And we're going to take that with us this week. And we're going to be the victors that you prophesied us to be. You know, Jesus prophesied to you that you would be a victor. Jesus prophesied to you that you would win. In his word says, you win. By faith, we win. So, Lord, thank you for that fresh spirit. Thank you, God. You're good. We look forward to hearing testimonies of what you're doing. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody clap, give the Lord a clap. Hallelujah. And we look forward to hearing good things. God bless you.